This is Will's Band of the Week for February 23rd, 2020. And welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with, once again, Chris, live in studio.
Yeah, it's getting to be a habit.
I think we have a thing that whenever you go to Le Tigre, you come to the podcast the next day.
Yeah, right? you were legitimately sick.
Yeah, I've got a legit cold. And you've got the Le Tigre flu?
Yes. I think we're going to refer to it as the Le Tigre flu.
That could be that's kind of like the rockin' pneumonia and the boogie woogie flu, right?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. We are rocking at Le Tigre, the official band of the bar of the Will's Band of the Week podcast late last night. So, so the last time I was on, we had the same thing. We were out for a show and stayed out late, and then the same is true for today. So this is getting to be a theme.
Do you want to talk about what you went out for last night?
Barrett and I went, and this was a last-minute thing. Evidently, there was some big heavyweight bout last night between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder, who are both undefeated heavyweights, and they tied last time they fought. So this was a big deal in Vegas, the rematch of the two. And I knew nothing about this until Barrett showed up on my doorstep yesterday afternoon. He's like, yeah, we should go watch this fight. I'm like, if you find somewhere that's showing it. And there was a BW3 all the way on the east side that was showing the fight. So we hopped in the car, drove all the way out there just to watch this fight, which Wilder lost. He got punched in the ear many times and was bleeding out of his ear.
Ouch.
And then at one point... Tyson Fury, who's British, he's from Manchester, you know how they hug every now and then when they're fighting just to stop for a little while?
It's not an affectionate hug, though.
Right. Well, they're hugging, and Fury starts licking the blood off of his neck of Deontay Wilder.
Oh, that's terrible.
Starts flicking his tongue.
That's so bad.
Yeah. So Barrett really hated Tyson Fury going into because he's kind of brash and un-PC, but I think he ended up liking him at the end of the fight.
Huh?
So now his next fight is probably going to have to be against Anthony Joshua, who's another British fighter who has a belt in another division, and so now they have to, you know, to get the undisputed heavyweight championship, those two guys have to fight, so it could be, it's between two Brits.
Wow.
So, yeah. And that's exhausted everything that I know about boxing right there.
I kind of have paid zero attention to boxing. I sort of forgot that it existed almost.
It's the sweet science, Will.
Except I was in a restaurant yesterday with a TV screen, and they were showing boxing, like boxing highlights or something. And I thought, who wants to come to a bar and watch boxing like these days? It seems like it's very out of coolness.
Yes. You know? It's a very 50s, 60s, yeah. 70s. Type of thing, but and so as I remarked while we were watching this, I mean, it's funny that in American football, everybody's, you know, all up in arms about there's a sport where, you know, concussions and, getting brain injuries and things like that, when literally there's another sport where the goal is to punch another guy in the head until he's rendered immobile and laying on the ground.
Yeah, literally try to knock him out.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It seems misplaced.
It's probably because it's just not as popular, right?
Yeah.
Football gets the press because it's way more popular. But boxing, I honestly do feel like it's just barbaric and terrible.
Yeah. The goal is to give people CTE.
Yeah. But people get wrapped up in the drama, I guess, right? So, yeah, I hope you guys were entertained.
We were. We were. There's a lot of drama.
Probably Le Tigre is a little more entertaining, though, than the boxing.
Oh, much more entertaining.
I would say.
Yep. Yeah. For sure.
Well, we have We have many options this week because we have so many features. I think we should probably start with this.
It's time for the
Rockin' Apple Update.
So as the special guest in the studio, I nominate you to choose from the last five songs played on the Rockin' Apple, and we'll give extreme critical comments about it.
Okay, I'm looking at them right now. There are a couple that are legitimate good songs. There's one that holds a special place in my heart, and that is...
I think I know what it's going to be.
The first one.
I was going to say.
The Crew, Home Sweet Home. From, it has to be from 1985 or 1986. We can figure that out later, but yes. Home Sweet Home from Motley Crue is the choice.
You know I'm a dreamer, but my
Oh, man.
Oh, how does that not get you going?
Oh, God. I don't even know what to say.
So one of my earliest memories as a music fan was in the mid-80s. I was probably 12 or 13 years old. And MTV used to have the call-in shows where people would call in and vote for the, you know, the number one video of the day. Mm-hmm. And this song, I swear, I mean, the Crew fans, they're like Bernie fans.
Like that's an insult.
They were extremely online before there was even online.
Okay.
So I think Home Sweet Home literally was the number one song for a full calendar year, if not more. Every day it was this song, and I would know it would be on, and I'd turn on the TV just waiting to hear Home Sweet Home. And
so they had grassroots support. Came from the people.
They did have grassroots support. That's
it wasn't
right.
Like a millionaire paid to get it played a whole bunch of times.
Nope. They had right. They had contributions of $11 at a time, people buying their album and tapes. Yeah, so the Crew, they had their fan base, and so yeah, very fond of that song. Video, of course, is classic. I believe at some point they show a woman pulling her shirt up in the crowd, which was very exciting to me as a 13-year-old.
Yeah, that's high-level entertainment
there. decadent life of the Crew. Also, we may have talked about it on the podcast. There was the Netflix movie called The Dirt about Motley Crue. It's not a documentary.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It came out, and it has actually real actors and has some pretty decadent stuff that went on behind the scenes with the band anyway. So... there you go.
I did not watch that, but you told me about it. I think you said it wasn't really that great.
It's not right? It's not that great. It kind of straddles the world between being kind of PC and un-PC, and it's it kind of wants to have it both ways. Although I know on the podcast we have talked about Tommy Lee's drum set.
You mean like going upside down?
Yeah, where he's strapped in.
He's bracketed in. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So...
you're definitely subjecting yourself to trusting the not just the technology, but like the whole construction, right?
Right, because he does it when he's like 50 feet up in the air, too.
If something breaks, that's bad news, man. Really bad.
Thankfully, or maybe not, Tommy Lee is still with us, so it all worked out. Safety first at Motley Crue shows.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's pretty good. Let's see.
Is the crew playing South By this year? They're playing Cheer Up Charlie's?
They should, under an assumed name.
400-pound right? Vince Neil now? Yeah.
Like Fat Elvis, right? Like it's the fat exactly. Motley Crue guy. Oh, my God. I don't know. The photos I've seen recently of Axl Rose, he doesn't look too good, right?
Yeah.
I assume Tommy Lee wouldn't. Oh, no. Wait, was that who you just mentioned?
Who?
Tommy Lee?
Vince Neil.
Vince Neil yeah. is the singer, right?
Yeah, right.
Is he, like, looking bad, too?
You know, age catches up with all of us.
Yeah.
It's done so for Vince Neil.
Yeah.
Tommy Lee's still skinny.
Yeah. Of course, some of these guys live a lifestyle that accelerates the aging process, too.
And then Mick Mars and Nikki Sixx are the other two.
Nikki Sixx with two X's.
Yeah. Yes.
He had a brother, Steve Sixx, right?
Doug Seven.
Oh, God. All right. Well, should we go to our first band?
We can do that. That's what we're here for.
This is kind of, I'll just introduce this by saying it's kind of unfair because you, were you the first one to tell us about this band? Or I think David was in on them early too.
David told me about them. And then as soon as I started listening to them, I could not stop listening to them last year when they had an EP out, just a 5-song EP. So I got to give David credit for this one.
Yeah, so, well, now there's a full-length album. It's a Chicago band, which is kind of cool, right? Because, I don't know, this is kind of indie pop stuff.
They're all DePaul University graduates.
Cool. Good. Well, the full-length album is out, and it's called Honeymoon. And I thought we should play a track, and then we can delve into this a little bit more.
Have we said the name of the band yet?
Maybe not.
Did you say it's Beach Bunny?
It is Beach Bunny. Yeah. So if I forgot, it's this bad cold that I have.
Right.
All right. What are we going to start with?
Oh, boy. So many good songs on here. I would start with, I don't know what number that is, but let's go with Miss California.
That's number 5.
Correct.
The more I try to catch your eye, the less you seem to hesitate. But
That's Beach Bunny.
Yep. So you'll notice a theme in all their music. It's headed by lead singer Lily Trifilio, and they are typically about self-image and breakups and maybe perhaps some depression and mental health issues. And so some serious topics, but with kind of a sugary, candy-coated veneer. And, of course, right... You know, I say it every time, but this is right in my wheelhouse. This is girl pop punk, and it's very good. It's done very well.
I think what I mentioned to you guys earlier is I found it kind of amazing how much I thought it sounded like the Beths when I listened to the whole thing through. It has a lot of the same dimensions as the Beths in that, you know, a lot of the songs are pretty simple, straightforward when they start, but then they all have something interesting that happens in the middle, and it's really well recorded, and it's just all really well put together and solid and consistent.
And do you recall what my number one album of 2018 was?
I think it was the Beths.
It was
right?
The Beths.
Yeah, it was in my top 10 too. I think I had them like 8 or 9 though. So yeah, cool. So why don't we do this? This is going to be fun. We're going to interrupt this podcast with the following message. Just so happens, you've got a live report that fits right in with this part of the podcast, right?
Yeah. Do we do this often, where we have the live report and do the band at the same time?
We don't. I mean, we've had bands on where we've had a live report for the same band, but we didn't do it in this really cool, clever way like we're doing it today.
So cool. So clever.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I went and saw them last Sunday night. Me and my neighbor Afra. They were initially supposed to play here December 5th of last year, but Lily got sick, the lead singer, so they pushed it off until February 16th, which is 2 days after their album came out. So we were the first show that they played with the new album.
It's nice to be able to hear the album, right?
Yeah, and they literally played the album from front to back, and then they played some from their Prom Queen EP. And a couple live songs from their Audio Tree sessions as well. So,
yeah, the album is 9 songs, 25 minutes. So
exactly.
Borderline labeled as an album, but that's kind of good though, right? The longest song is a little bit under 4 minutes. So,
yep,
yeah.
And of course, I was the oldest person there. So here's the interesting thing about this band is that maybe 6 months ago, when I was really into them listening to their EP, they were kind of really not popular. They had like maybe a couple hundred fans on Twitter followers, and suddenly one of their song Prom Queen took off on TikTok, I believe, which is the favorite place of women in yoga pants and sports bras to lip sync. I don't know if you've ever been on TikTok, but that's basically what it is.
I still don't quite understand what it is, but that's because I'm too old.
And so now if you go to the YouTube video of their song Prom Queen, there's like 40 million views.
that's insane.
40 million views for this little-known band that almost didn't even exist a year ago. And so the Madison show is sold out, and if you look at all their shows from here on out, they're all sold out. And it's all, you know, kids that are on TikTok and young fans. And so I clearly don't fit into that demographic. And so, yeah, it was interesting when we were seeing them live because there was a mosh pit right next to me. I was like, remember when we were at Fontaine's DC and I was kind of like right on the edge of the mosh pit?
Yeah.
Protecting people from the people slam dancing?
Yeah.
That was me in this case, although a little bit different type of music. I think people mosh to anything now. I think these people probably hadn't been to a rock show before, and they Googled, what do I do at a rock show? It's like, oh, you got a mosh pit. So yeah, I was doing that, and then a couple dudes took their shirts off, and so they were slamming into me with shirtless guys. It was a little bit weird.
Sweaty, too, probably.
Yeah, it was so gross. So gross. Before the show, Afra and I were having a beer near the back of the room, and there were some people our age there wearing Beach Bunny t-shirts. And we're like, oh, hey. And then realized that they were the parents of the band that were there up from Chicago. It's only a 2-hour drive from Chicago to here. So got to see the parents standing right next to us. And then I was at a urinal next to the drummer once. So that's my claim to fame.
That's total claim to fame.
I did not talk to him at the urinal because that's against the rules.
So
try not to do that.
Live performance wise, do they do the job?
Yeah, it was great. You could tell there's some some parts in some of the songs, it's mostly power chords, but then there are some plucking parts, arpeggio, is that what they're called?
Yeah, something like that.
Where you do that. And then after the song, she was like, whew, that was nerve-wracking. Because I think she's not at the stage yet where she can really, really pluck like that. But it sounded great. They did great. And yeah, so.
Cool.
Enjoyed it.
All right. Let's go back to the album. It was kind of you to leave me with the best song on the album. It's number 3, called April.
Also on this album, I want to give a shout out to the drums because, you know, it is definitely within kind of the power pop, you know, Best Coast, Beths, that type of vibe. But I had been listening to this nonstop over and over and over, and I probably listened to it 20 times. And then just driving to Milwaukee the other day, I'm like, okay, I'm going to listen to the album and I'm going to focus on nothing but the drums. And when I did that, it completely opened it up for me. I think it's amazing because it could... I mean, the songs are fairly straightforward, but there are little parts in there where there's little trips here and there and, you know, little effects and kind of timing. The timing's thrown off a little every now and then. And I'm like, how does anybody even think of that? So shout out to the drummer. John Alvarado is the drummer. I think he does a great job, and I think it helps the album quite a bit.
Cool. I'm going to shout out the recording engineer. Because I think it sounds great. Do you think they got a financial boost after they got all that TikTok stuff and all those views? You know, I didn't go back and listen to the EP to compare the recording quality, but it's really good. It's real punchy and It's not. You could tell it's a step above like somebody's bedroom recording. It's definitely done in a studio by somebody who knew what they were doing. You know,
yeah,
it's not overdone. It's just done really well.
And I know when she first started her band. It was just her essentially recording in her bedroom, as I'm sure a lot of people do now.
Yeah,
you can have all the recording equipment that you need right here, like in Fourth Bedroom Studios.
Right. Think of the great quality we get here. Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna pick the third, and I'm gonna go with the last song, Cloud Nine.
Calls me pretty, I feel like somebody.
That's Beach Bunny.
So I like that the album ends on a happy note.
Yeah.
Every time I listen to the album, that song, I hear that song and I'm like, oh God, I can't wait to listen to this again because it's a good way to end.
Yeah. They didn't put a filler 5-minute piano ballad or something at the end.
Correct.
They kept the album lean and mean. And not really mean at all, just lean. Right?
Yeah. I love her voice. And during the show, it was funny just... because, you know, during her banter, she'd swear every now and then. And then she'd catch herself. She's like, oops, our parents are here.
That's pretty good.
It's kind of adorable. So, yeah. I don't want to say, I don't want to give anything away as far as, like, year-end lists. But I think we have a contender.
We talked about how it's unfortunate that they were not required to pay their dues by going to South by Southwest, right?
I mean, in theory, they'd be the absolute perfect South by Southwest band. Their first full-length album just came out, you know, 3 weeks before the festival.
Yep.
They should be down there, but why do that when you sell out all your shows? Because of TikTok.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to share revenues with anybody.
Yeah.
They don't have to play 4 shows a day to get themselves known.
Right. Yeah. Can't blame them.
Yeah. So good for them.
All right. Beach Bunny. Check them out. Maybe you can, maybe the aging rockers like us, if you tell some young people that you like the band Beach Bunny, they'll think you're cool, right?
Or they'll think Beach Bunny is lame if old people like us like them.
That could happen, too.
Yeah. The converse is always true.
Right. All right. We did that one justice. Okay. So the next one I have is, I just kind of thought that this kind of fits a similar vibe. It's not quite as slick, and it doesn't have a 40 million views. And as far as I know, it's not on TikTok.
Does it have 40 views?
I don't know. I don't know, but this is a band called Girl Gang. They're pretty easy to find because you just spell girl with a G and then 3 R's and an L.
Girl.
G-R-R-R-L.
Yes.
Gang.
Favorite and, band of pirates.
And there's a fun there's a fun thing about where they're from, too, but let's not give that up yet, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, see if you can guess.
We didn't play. There's a track on the Beach Bunny album called Dream Boy.
Yes.
And this album has a song on it called Dream Girl. So I think, and it's, plus it's catchy, so let's play that.
Yeah. She's got a mean look, giving you death threats. But she can be your dream girl. She can be your dream girl. She's got a mean wrong time. She can be your dream girl. She can be your dream girl. She's a vision above and a high.
Girl Gang. I had to play it through that fun stop start thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You think the song's over, but then it's not.
Girl Gang, not from Chicago.
No.
Well, I'll narrow it down for everybody.
Can you think of where you would have guessed? I might have said Australia, maybe because I associate some of this male-female vocal kind of thing from being from Australia.
But, yeah.
It's hard to tell. Sometimes you think maybe you can tell from accents, and then there's definitely no Australian accent there. So maybe that gives that up. But
yeah, there's a slight hint of an accent, so I wouldn't have guessed like Southern California or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know where I would have guessed.
Well, should we divulge it now?
Yeah, everybody's on the edge of their seats.
They are, yeah. They're thinking right now. You're playing the game at home.
Do you want me to say?
Yeah, you can say it.
They are from Indonesia.
Yogyakarta, Indonesia.
Yogyakarta,
mm-hmm.
Indonesia, which is not Jakarta.
Nope. Totally different place. So
weird because they have different names.
Yeah. I had to look it up to see where it was because I'm not that good with my world geography all the time. And it's just basically northwest of Australia. Like if you went from Perth and you headed kind of northwest, I think you sort of get there. So they could probably, they have to take a private plane, but they could come to one of Nicholas's things, in his backyard.
Nicholas is rolling in the cash from the residuals from our podcast, so
right,
he can fly Girl Gang out there, right?
You'd think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's got a landing pad pretty close to his backyard.
Bring out the Girl Gang and Eddie Current and the, what was that band?
Eddie Current Suppression
Ring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure, bring them all out.
The album is called Here to Stay with an exclamation point, so they are very enthusiastic. They will, in fact, be toiling at South by Southwest to try to prove themselves to a bunch of angry, critical old men, right?
Yes, they are on Damnably Records, which is
right.
The label of many of our favorites. In fact, they are playing at South by Southwest on Wednesday, March 18th with Odaboke Beaver, Drinking Boys and Girls Choir, and a few other bands that are some favorites of ours.
Yeah, should be a good one.
Is Seisumi on Damnably? I think they are.
Yeah, they were in the Damnably showcase last year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a good label.
They probably got enough TikTok interactions that they didn't need to come this year. Right. Seisumi. Yeah. All right, do you have a pick from the Girl Gang album?
I do. Let's go with song number 1, 2, 3, 4, Just a Game.
Girl Gang.
Yeah, like the kind of laid back, languid feel to that one. It's almost like Indonesian real estate or something.
That's good.
Seems like a lot of the Asian bands are kind of doing the music that American bands don't do anymore, which is good. They're filling the gap for us.
Cool indie pop stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, let's play another one. Do we have anything? I have one thing to say about this before I play the next track. It is also short. It's 9 songs, and I think it's only 25 minutes long. But then the funny thing is, the first and last song are the same song.
Right.
Dream Girl is at the end also.
There's the single version and the just okay version.
It sounds like what they did is they recorded it, and then they had it kind of enhanced. So like the solo guitar comes through with more effects on it in what they call the single version. So they just threw both versions on there. All right, let's play number 7, Night Terrors.
A voice is giving me a fright. It's hard to feel right. Meaning the string to spill. Instead, he gives me one more pill. It is too goddamn bright. Hard to feel alright. Shadow creatures roam around. Calling my name, pinning my wrist down. Shadow creatures roam around. To feel right. Shadow creatures roam around.
Girl Gang.
Yeah, not as many straightforward rockers as Beach Bunny, but
right.
Good nonetheless.
We played a couple of the slower ones. There's some more upbeat ones too. And that one, they kind of let the guy sing more, and then, you know, then they have the double team vocal thing. So that's always fun.
Always fun.
Yeah, we're pro that. Craig is always a big proponent, but I think we're all on board, right? With the male-female vocal idea?
Yes, very much so. So I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
So Girl Gang, if you're listening, just know we're going to be there.
Yeah. I only have 60 or so bands that I want to see.
I don't believe that. I was listening to your podcast with Barrett, and you're like, oh, I've got 58 bands, and we haven't even gotten to the NPR list that we always call from.
Yeah.
I'm calling BS on that.
God, I have 60 with a star next to it. Now, some of them are kind of like curiosities that I know that I probably won't actually see, but...
I think I have 21. I think that was my list.
Oh, man. Come on.
How many are you going to get to see? You're not going to get to see 60 bands.
No, but you got to give yourself choices, right? So, you don't know what the schedule's going to be. So put down every band that you're interested in. Mm. You have this great big... It does create a problem. I have two time slots now where there's 4 bands already playing at the same time.
Your list is going to double when the previews come out.
It won't double at all because, I mean, when they do the Austin 100 thing, they're just picking from the same bands I'm picking from. So I might add 3 that I didn't already notice, probably.
Trying to think of who I got off the NPR list last time. Fontaines, Sidney Gish.
Although I believe David had her on his top 10 list for the year before, right? Who else? I Mean Us. I think I got off their list.
That's, yeah. I got to give them credit. If they had I Mean Us on there, that's pretty good because that's an obscure band and they were great. So
the aforementioned Pew Pew Pew.
Oh, yeah. The guy that ate the curly fries.
So bored.
Oh, God.
We're just gonna, it's going to be a recurring joke.
Yeah. It will be interesting to see what they come up with. And yeah, and there's all this unofficial stuff, too. And apparently Proto Martyr is going to be down there. They haven't been announced as an official band, but they've been listed now on two unofficial lists, you know, crazy parties.
Yeah.
So,
well, you guys keep throwing out these party lists, like just a little behind the scenes. Look, we have a WhatsApp chat thing.
Right.
And you guys screenshot shows that are going on and put them out there. And you're like, oh my God, this is the greatest show. I have to go to this. And I have no idea who any of the bands on them are. I'm like, oh, okay, good. That frees me up for something else.
We'll have plenty of time to you know, compare notes. And yeah, hopefully do our preview show in a couple weeks, too.
Hold on. Wasn't there one yesterday where it's just like the name of the band is Pigs five times or something?
Yeah, I think it's seven times.
Pigs.
Right.
Yeah. So when you say you're going to see that band, do you have to say it seven times every time?
I'm not. They must have some other way that they say it, right? Pigs times seven
pigs,
or something.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Pigs. See, I lost it. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yep.
Yeah.
Playing before Jenny Beth and the Murder Capital, who I have heard of.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll scout it out.
Yep. Got to have our contest every year for dumbest, weirdest name.
Yeah. Well, we're only up to like 45 minutes, and by the time my mistakes get edited out, it'll be like 42. So I could throw in a band from Nicholas's backyard.
Go ahead.
What do you think?
That I haven't heard them, but let's do it.
I think you'll like them.
Okay,
they're called House Deposit, and I listened to this like in November or December, and they just stayed on the list here of like, hey, I should tell people about this band.
House Deposit is the name of the band.
Yep,
like the security deposit.
I assume that's what that means. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like mortgage or
yeah, something okay. Like that. Yeah, and they're of course presumably good friends of Nicholas because they're from Melbourne, and they have a good. I'd say they're kind of the slacker end of the jangle pop of the Aussie jangle pop. See if this is just completely wrong. Okay, we'll play number two, IKEA Dreaming.
So I don't get it. Just need to keep it straight. Why don't you back me up? 'Cause I am easy free. A new diary,
a new mug,
a desk lamp,
a picture frame.
I've got this faux belief that it will help me sleep. Flat pack. Splash of green, it'll help me think as I neglect to clean. Colored photos,
a calendar,
a pen cup,
some sticky notes,
more things that I can get that'll disappear like the rest. Flat pack.
So Nicholas likes to describe, you know, what he'd be doing while listening to that. So I'm thinking it's a really hot afternoon. You're in Nicholas's backyard and you're drinking one of these kind of really nice and cold lighter beers with a lime and you're watching that.
Not a Foster's.
Well, I guess Foster's would be right, wouldn't it? Yeah. I was seeing Corona, but then that's not appropriate because that's Mexican. Yeah. Foster's.
Yeah.
A Foster's oil can. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
We used to call those things oil cans.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's got the male-female thing going on.
Sure.
It's got the Melbourne thing.
Check and check.
Pretty cool. Yep.
Last time I was on, we did Kiwi Junior.
Yeah.
Kind of has that same sound. Mm. Kind of like Pavement / Go-Betweens.
Right. Another band that's going to be at South by Southwest.
Yes.
Kiwi Junior.
Indeed.
House Deposit should come. Come on, guys. Nicholas, he's got the budget, right? From his studio upgrade, if he has a little extra, he could fly him out.
Nicholas seems tiny, so they could just add him as a carry-on and bring him as well.
That's true. Stash Nicholas in the... just have a blanket. They don't have heat in that compartment, right? In the storage.
Well, he could be a roadie. He could. He knows enough about sound stuff.
That's true. He'd have him sounding incredible.
Right.
All right. I forgot if I mentioned, the album by House Deposit is called Reward for Effort. And here, let's play another one. Number 3, Sometimes, Somehow.
I don't know.
House Deposit.
It's a very conversational style of singing.
Yeah. Sort of like, it's not talking, but it's kind of like not straining too hard to hit the notes.
Yeah. It's just like, yes, I guess I have to sing, so.
Kind of glide along with the notes, sort of.
Right.
Yeah. Well, all right. We always play 3, and we still have enough time, so let's play one more. Let's go with number 6, Reptiles.
Thank you.
It's House Deposit.
Okay, this is freaky. I know I've heard that song somewhere before. Mm. Have I listened to this album and I forgot?
I don't know.
It's possible.
I probably mentioned it a month or two ago because I had it on my list for quite a while.
Sounds really familiar.
Huh. It sounds so Australian, like that has to be played in Nicholas's backyard, right? Like you can't make music like that in the United States.
Right.
It's impossible.
He should just have a live stream from his backyard.
Yeah, he should. Just set a camera up there.
Seriously, have we ever sat and done an accounting of the Melbourne bands that we've had? I know we've talked about this before, but it's got to be up to like 20 now, right?
Oh, God, probably even more.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we were trying to sort of think about that if we've done, what do we say, 500-plus podcasts, so like 1,000 bands. So like how many from each locale.
I'm sure we had this exact discussion probably last time when we were on.
I think we did.
Eddie Current, Suppression Ring.
Yeah.
They're Melburnians as well.
Yeah. It's quite the music city. Not to mention the underground venues. Like
do you
Nicholas's
think they
backyard.
Know that? Do you think Melbourne knows
that they're worshipped from afar as an indie rock destination?
It's
or
clout as in America as
I don't know.
Indie rock capital?
I don't know. We'll have to get Nicholas's perspective on that.
I'll do a Chamber of Commerce advertisement for Melbourne if they want.
Yeah.
They can fly me out there. I can see my sister that lives there.
Yeah.
My nieces and my nephews. I have no nieces. So let's get on that Melbourne.
Yeah, you got to get out there and get to one of those backyard shows too. there are a couple of venues at South by Southwest that they call the backyard, right? There's the Barracuda Backyard, and there's this place called the Scratch House with a backyard that I've seen some listings this year, and a few others. Because you have to turn every music venue into like two or three music venues. There's so many, it's just insane. So.
Speaking of Melbourne also, Courtney Barnett just had a MTV Unplugged album come out. I've listened to that a few times. Very good, as one would expect. So
someone said they were listening to something new by Courtney Barnett, and I thought, I haven't heard anything like that or about that. So I guess that's what it was. MTV, they still do MTV Unplugged?
I guess they do. Maybe they still do it in Australia.
There's still MTV?
Wait, there's music on MTV? What the hell's going on?
I thought it, like, after about 5 years, it just turned into, like, bad, you know, sitcom skits or something.
I think the last thing I watched on there was the TV show Catfish. Are you aware of that show?
I remember hearing about it.
It was where people were duped online into, like, falling in love with people who
weren't a real person,
used fake photos and all that kind of stuff. And after about 4 seasons of the show, it literally got down to the dumbest people in the world that were being fooled by this. Like, if you,
I thought there's just one movie called Catfish.
It started with the movie.
Yeah, and then I didn't know the show.
I
didn't know they made it into a show. That's kind of bad.
Like one of them please help me meet my fiance. Like two people would get engaged, having only spoken online in chats, like not even on the phone. And it's always one person was going to go meet the other person finally in person, and they had a car accident and they couldn't make it, or their mother got sick, and it was always like the red flags were everywhere and people just can't seem to know them.
That's just sad. I would be sad watching that about, you know, them like duping people.
I think it's possible that Nicholas might be catfishing us. Maybe he's somebody else.
Yeah, that could be.
We haven't met him yet, right? In person.
Not in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows?
We'll take his word for it.
He could be a Russian bot, right? Like, so a lot of these things, any aspect of our podcast could actually be a Russian bot, right?
Right. He's here just to push Melbourne on us.
Right. It's the Australian government bot, right?
It would be great if you were an actual robot.
Yeah.
Like not just a computer bot, but like a real live with arms and legs and stuff.
Yeah, when he talks, it sounds so natural. You know, it's like, they really have that down now.
Yeah, they passed the Turing test.
Yeah, it's not. It definitely doesn't sound mechanical or anything. Yeah, pretty good. All right,
just kidding, Nicholas. We love you.
We're up to $0 now. See, I think we were. Boy, I don't know. We might have been just a little bit above zero, but then a House Deposit just jumped it over the line, I think. So I'm glad I finally had a chance to talk about them. There remains an impressive list here, so we'll keep working on it. And then we'll bore everybody to death with all the bands we're going to see at South by Southwest. But it's worthy because we'll probably see a whole bunch of bands that we have very little familiarity with right now, And they'll be, you know, a lot of them will be really good, right?
I'd say there's a 90% chance. My favorite band of the year, I don't even know who they are yet.
Yeah, that's a cool way to think about it. Yeah, yeah.
I can't wait to meet my favorite band.
Right. There won't be another Fontaine's DC, but I think they were exceptional enough that it's not reasonable to expect that there's going to be a single band that we're going to like say wow the same way we did about them. But I think that there will be several bands that we think are just really fun and really good.
Okay, we'll put a pin.
That's what I'm thinking.
If there is a band like that, put a pin in it, and we'll come back to this conversation.
Right. Okay. Are we done now?
We're done.
Okay. Let's sign off. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night, Indonesia.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, the United Kingdom, and Australia. You can subscribe or download the podcast wherever podcasts are available or from our website, willsband.net. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and you can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.